This is Ben Goujon with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am talking art with Colm Phelan and Danny Collins of the award-winning traditional Irish ensemble, Goitcha. Colm, Danny, welcome to Talking Art. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, all good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. We are so excited that you're going to be in town. Goitcha, the full ensemble, will be joining us as part of Quad City Arts Visiting Artist Series. And you guys are going to be here traveling around, engaging in the schools. Tell us a little bit about Goitcha and what you're going to be doing here.
Yeah, so we're a five-piece band, as you mentioned there, Ben, but we all met in the University of Limerick. That's where the band was formed. So we started to study music, some of us in 2007 at the university. And from the very early kind of weeks in the school or in the college, should I say, we kind of just clicked. There was a couple of us clicked. We were invited to play for a charity event, a fundraiser. And one of the nights when we were playing, we just kind of had a few tunes together, shared some music. And we kind of, you know, as jolly people going home from the pub that night kind of said, wouldn't it be great if we could start a band? And the dream kind of started then. And fast forward to 2025 now, and we've recorded 6 albums and toured all over the place. So, it was great opportunity studying together in Limerick, because it kind of gave us all the time and space to work together outside of learning on the course, but we also had the evenings off where we could then come together, work on music. And one of our early albums, Transformed, was really put together in the university in particular. So it gave us access to great great tutors, great mentors, people who had great advice for us, and a lot of help from the university as well. One of the very first trips we ever did as a band was to Malawi and Zambia in Africa, and that was a real privilege and a cool very first trip as the band. And that was thanks to Michal Sullivan, who has passed away since, who was the head of the university, and he had invited us. There was an opportunity, and he called Anya into the office and presented the idea and would we be up for it, and of course we jumped at it. And that was one of the first ever tours, if you like, we'd done, or gigs we'd done. So it's been a great kind of couple of years for us anyway.
Wonderful. Well, you're going to have a public performance on Thursday, February 20th at 7 p.m. At the Sound Conservatory in downtown Moline. What can audiences expect to hear?
Yeah, like, I suppose audience can expect like a mix of traditional Irish melodies and modern contemporary ones, I suppose, Ben. When we get together as a band, you know, we pick out some older melodies. Alan, who's the banjo player with us, he's great for delving into, like, you know, tunes that no one has ever heard before. So, like, they're really traditional, but I suppose in the scene at home, a lot of people think that they are modern just because they've never been heard before, you know. And we just like to put our own twist on that, those kind of melodies, and make it our own, you know. And I suppose it's great then, because a lot of those melodies are creeping into the tradition at home now. Young musicians are starting to play those melodies, and it's great because, you know, like, people our own age have never heard them before.
One thing I would love to know is, tell me about the name Goitcha. I'm assuming it's a Gaelic word, and I assume a lot of our listeners don't speak Gaelic. What does the name mean, and how did you come to find it?
Yeah, so it's an Irish word, Goitcha. It's a Gaelic word. And it's slang. It's a slang word that's used only really up in the northwest of the country, up in Donegal. And that first meeting that we had playing for the charity event that I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
it was that night when we were coming out of the pub. Some of us were walking on, and Tygo Macker, who's a former member of the band, is an Irish speaker, and Anya McGeaney, our singer, is an Irish speaker as well. And they were having a conversation in Irish. The rest of us were walking up the road, and when they were trying to get our attention, they were shouting, "Gwitcha, Gwitcha," and Gwitcha means "I'm here." So it just stuck that night. It just was a funny moment. We were kind of, you know, the rest of us were turning around, not really knowing that they were two Irish speakers either, because it was early days in college. We didn't know. Yeah. And it kind of just stuck as the joke of the night. And we entered like a battle of the bands competition in the university like 2 weeks later or something like that. And we needed to have a band name, and that was just the thing that connected us all at the time. So it's probably the worst band name you could ever think of, if we're being honest, because no one can pronounce it anywhere we go, including most parts of Ireland. So fair play to them. That's it.
Well, I love the meaning of it, though, because, like, to me, that's what music about is asking people, like, come here, share with me, commune with me. And that's great.
Absolutely. And Danny does an awful lot of work, and a few of us as well in the band. We're working with kids and sessions and music, and there's a lot of festivals down in Cork. And it's always something that we're all proud of as well, is trying to bring on that next generation of musicians. And because without someone teaching us or guiding us or being encouraging to us, we wouldn't be doing the best job in the world, in our opinion, which is going around performing and sharing what we love, you know. So, yeah, it's important.
Yeah. One thing I really love about the Quad City Arts Visiting Artist Series is the exposure it gives to young audiences who may not have heard this style of music before or met anyone from Ireland before or anything. And I always think back, and I may have told this story on the pod before, but I was an actor for a long time and lived in New York and was doing film and television and all that kind of stuff. And one of the most inspiring moments for me was, I remember I was in high school and we had a visiting artist come in, a guy who did a one-man show about Malcolm X. And I remember watching it and being like, I want to do that. I want to do what he's doing, you know? And that was one of those touch points for me that brought me on. So, I mean, I love that you're here and going into the schools, because you don't know what kid is going to see that and see the accordion or the bouzouki or, exactly, you know, and say, oh, I want to play that instrument and set them on a whole new path for their life.
That's the thing as well, Ben. I'm just coming out of a school. I do some work in schools as well, teaching the Boron. And this is my first week back. We had bad snow last week and stuff. And it was in one of the classes alone, a class of 20 people, there was three people who were overjoyed to bring in their Boron that they asked Santa for Christmas. And I was kind of going, that's amazing. So it was great to see that here's people being inspired through just teaching in a school that were never exposed at home to Irish music or anyone in their family played it. And all of a sudden, this is what they want for Christmas. You know what I mean? And Danny, I'm sure you've had experiences like that.
Oh, sure. I even got a Boron for Christmas.
My little guy got a drum kit for Christmas, so if we lived in Ireland, he may have also gotten a Boron.
You attended my classes, Danny. What was going on that you got the Boron?
Well, so you play the Boron, Colm, and Danny, what are all the instruments that you play with Gwitcha?
So in the band, I play the piano, accordion, and the piano as well.
He's being very modest here. I'm going to have to jump in, Ben, because he's saying specifically what he plays in the band. But Danny is one of these people who could replace every member of the band easily, because he plays every instrument to an incredible standard. He's one of these musicians that all the other musicians hate, but the public love, you know?
I know. I have some friends like that where it's like they just pick up anything and they're like, oh, yeah, I can make this work.
The whole list now is basically every instrument in the band plus more. Isn't that right, Danny? Banjo, fiddle, boron.
Like Colin was saying a while ago, I teach loads of kids at home and here in West Cork, in and out of the schools. Like, so, yeah, I teach most, like, traditional Irish instruments. So, yeah, like fiddle, tin whistle, banjo, boron, drums, trad piano. Yeah, but no, in Gwicha, it's just the piano accordion and the piano. That's what you'll see me with. Yeah.
Well, what I'm always curious with people who are multi-instrumentalists, what did you start on, Danny?
The tin whistle.
Okay.
Yeah, so like here in Ireland, it's really popular for kids to just start with a few tunes on the tin whistle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some music teachers like will only start their students with the tin whistle and then they'll progress them onto a different instrument, you know. But I suppose, you know, that was more of a thing in the past, but it's still quite a good idea, I feel, because the tin whistle is a very manageable instrument, like, to mm-hmm. play. And I suppose it just gives kids, like, a ground basis, you know, to move their harder instruments.
And very affordable as well. It's probably the cheapest instrument you're going to get in Irish music. It's, you know, it used to be called the penny whistle as well, I suppose, because the affordability of it, so.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and what about you, Colm?
Well, I started on a whistle in school as well, and I tried to fiddle for a while, and basically I'm a failed melody player, failed musician, so that's why I'm the boron player and drummer in the band. I tried the other ones, but I wasn't as talented as the rest of them, so yeah.
You have a few tunes on the button box.
I do. I have a button accordion. Yeah, I have a button accordion at home as well. Myself, my mom used to play for years, so about 10 or 15 years ago, we used to go down to classes together just for a bit of fun together and a bit of time to hang out. And then we'd meet up in the morning sometimes and play a few tunes, you know. So I have to dust it down. I haven't played it in a while, but I play a bit of boron and drums really is the main thing. And I used to dance when I was younger. It was the dancing that got me into the boron, because when I was younger, I saw Riverdance on the TV and I thought this was the most mind-blowing cool thing, and I thought I wanted to be like Michael Flatley there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I remember when it came out here and Americans were first exposed to it, and it was huge.
It was
Riverdance was everywhere.
It's jaw-dropping. It's amazing when you see it. And so I was asked then to play for a group of tourists that were traveling through the area. And when I was on a break between dancing, I saw someone playing the boron and I just was fixated with the instrument. I just thought it was the coolest instrument. And obviously then there was a rhythm crossover between the dancing and the feet. And I then broke my ankle shortly after starting to get to play the boron. I broke it dancing and I then got addicted to the boron and never went back to the dancing. So
I think my tap dancing career also ended with a broken toe. I was like, yeah, I'm good.
well,
and so I'm curious because I was researching the boron yesterday as I was prepping for this, and there kind of seemed some conflicting things that I saw about it being an Irish instrument or a Greek instrument.
No, well, that would probably be the bouzouki more. There's a debate with that, I suppose. But the bouzouki is from Greek, but there's an
adapter. Oh, maybe. I think you're totally right. I totally mixed that up. So tell me about the boron more.
Yeah, so the boron, though, there is problems with the origin of that as well. It is an Irish instrument, but there's no documentation really of when it was introduced in Irish music setting or how it came about. There's all different theories. There's connections to like Finland, to the drum that's used there. There's connections to it being a farming tool, like a sieve for corn on the farm, and that people then used to hang it in the house, take it down, play it with their hand when there was a house party or session going on, you know.
Yeah.
There's all different kind of theories. Even the latest one I heard was that it came via the marching band scene from Turkey that went into England, and then when England colonized Ireland and there was the marching kind of bands in the barracks, is that it was used from that. So there's mad kind of theories, but yeah, it's basically very simple, for anyone listening who has never come across it before, it's a very simple instrument in terms of it's usually traditionally it's made with a goat skin stretched over a single kind of frame of wood, a circular frame of wood, and tighten back onto it, and then played with a stick, usually. Mm-hmm. But like if you were to hear the modern style of boron playing, it can sound like a drum kit really in one small instrument, and that's the really neat, cool thing about it. It's kind of mind-blowing if you've never come across it, and then all of a sudden you're sitting out in the audience and you hear the modern way of playing it in particular. Lots of different styles. But in a musical setting in Ireland, the other really fascinating thing about it is it's only really since the 1960s that it was played regularly. So there's such a range of styles in that instrument compared to other instruments because the developments in each decade have been huge. But the standard of boron playing in Ireland at the moment, like it used to be the butt of all jokes, the boron, a lot of times the piano accordion as well, Danny, and the banjo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't pick the most popular instruments for our band, but
those are the ones I love, though, like banjos, accordions, like.
Yeah.
On a mission to try and make those three instruments cooler, that's it. it's a club for hanging out with people who get slagged off the whole time musically, so.
Yeah.
But it's a fun instrument, yeah.
That's awesome. So you guys are both in Ireland now, but I know you've played all over the world and all over the States. And how did you kind of, I'm always interested in performing artists kind of journey as a on the business side of thing, like how did you kind of grow outside of just Ireland and Limerick?
Yeah, well, there was a couple of things that were really, there's always moments. I think most people who are in this kind of job would say you need those kind of little breaks or bits of luck or be in the right place at the right time, you know.
Yeah.
There's always little moments like that we could attribute over the years, you know. The first big one was in 2010. There was a showcase that was going on, a music conference that was actually being held in our university, and someone tipped us off about it in America and said you should apply for this and put your music forward. And there was basically a lot of the Irish festival scene organizers were all coming over to check out bands and stuff. And on the basis of us doing a 15, 20 minute showcase, we ended up having an 8-week tour playing at like 10 festivals in the summer of 2011. So we went straight from graduating in the 31st of May or the 1st of June into like an 8-week tour. We missed our graduation from college because we were on the road touring. So that was one of the biggest ones that, you know, we went straight from studying into having a career in music. So there's different things like that. Different awards over the years have really helped then as well, kind of give you a status, and people kind of just sit up and take more notice of you. Good reviews, of course, over albums and different things like that. Maybe there's other things, Danny, that you can think of as well, but.
No, I think you've said most of them there now, to be honest. I think like a lot of the time, well, I kind of feel anyway, just from my own experience, like, you know, sticking with it, you know, even in the harder times, do you know that kind of way? I kind of feel like people don't stay with something, you know, and really give it a go, you know, because like it's not all rosy either. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I think like just staying with something and working hard at something would be something that stands out for myself, you know. I think that's kind of how I ended up in the band, really. I kind of just...
Well, you know, that goes to the saying of, like, the best ability is availability. And being there and being available, you know?
Yeah.
I know a lot of times with my career, it's like, you're the person that shows up. So you get asked to do things.
Yeah.
And, you know, so much of being an artist is showing up and doing it.
Exactly, yeah.
I think the likes of 2020 to 2022 when COVID was
100%. Rampant, yeah.
There was a lot of musicians folded. There was a lot of bands folded. I know a lot of people went straight away online to take a teaching course, so that they'd be a secondary school or elementary school teacher or primary school teacher, or they changed career path. There was so many lost that way. So, which was sad as well, you know what I mean? But it's like, I think that's why it makes a good point what Danny's saying. It's just to get back in it straight away, keep at it. We tried to keep busy during those 2 years and try to write new music. Our last album came about through lockdown, really. We were sending each other tracks and figured out how to do home recording and stuff, you know, those kind of little things. So trying to use the time as best we could, really. But
yeah.
Well, and that was such a fascinating time. And like, I was still working in the theater industry then, and but seeing musicians and theater artists and so many artists still finding ways to collaborate during that time of isolation, and you know, the new technologies that came out of that and the ways to record music together, you know, it just, was it a fun time? No, but did it kind of open up all these other doors that, you know, are like us right now talking on this conversation? It's not that this didn't exist before, but until like suddenly everything was on Zoom. Yeah. Now it's like, oh yeah, we're just going to Zoom.
And one of the things as well, like, you know, I'm just thinking of you, Danny, here as well. Like it became a great way of learning how to kind of promote yourself in a way as well, because all of a sudden we had time to work on how to do sound recording, how to do video editing, all these skill sets. Mm-hmm. All the musicians start to do, we all start buying home recording equipment to try to do collaborations, to try to do these things. And I'm thinking of the likes of Danny, you know, so many people that saw him as just the piano accordion, piano player with the band. And then all of a sudden you'd see this video going up that Danny had made at home, and there's like 18 Dannys on the screen waiting, playing 20,000. And they're all, he can do
It's called boredom. That's what it's called.
I thought you were about to say it's called AI, Danny, and you had a fake person. No, but you know what I mean? It like the amount of people now who are recording their own music videos, or they're recording their albums from home. I know a lot of people don't, you know, it's nearly like the haircuts. Some people are still doing the haircuts at home, the barber and at home, you know, where that was the thing. We always just went to the barber for the haircut. It's the same now. People are recording music albums from home and cutting down on the cost of studio time. It's fascinating.
Even there now, like I found last week, as Colin was saying earlier, Ben, we got really bad snow in Ireland last week. And Wednesday night, this day last week, I was meant to do a rehearsal with about 30 kids, you know. This was only like 20 minutes in the road from where I live. But because there was snow and the roads were dangerous, I just decided cancel the practice, see you on Zoom, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, just ran a Zoom lesson on a Wednesday night from 7 to 8. That's something that wouldn't have even crept into my head before COVID, you know.
Yeah, and
even for all the parents and the kids, they were straight on, not a bother, see you on Zoom, you know.
Just, yep. It's. I will say, as a parent, sometimes that's for better or worse. When we have snow days now, they just say, oh, the kids will stay home on Zoom. And then we've got to stay home and monitor them on Zoom versus being like, eh, go out and play all day. Go play in the snow. But it is, it really just changed. I know in the entertainment industry and in acting, like, you know, after that, obviously, like, productions were shut down for a while, but then all auditions moved to self-tape auditions, and a lot of that never went away. You know, those first 2-3 rounds of auditions for a lot of projects now are all just, you're taping yourself at home. You're not going into an office, you know, to meet with the casting director, which has its pros and cons.
And again, we're probably trying to be as positive as we can, because it was a miserable couple of years where your stomach fell out of you every time you saw an email. This is cancelled. This is cancelled. No work. But I suppose they're the small positive bright sides from it, wasn't it, really? You know, but you have to look on the bright side, I think, of most things and try to keep the positivity going, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. And it's, like I said, it just kind of, it forced artists to rethink of how they got their art out there, you know, and in the long run, I think is great.
Yeah. I think like loads of musicians now, like since that whole COVID time, they're really using social media big time, you know, like of course before the COVID times, social media was being used, but like it's like the main thing now, you know, people are just doing videos, doing this and that. And, you know,
Yeah.
I seen an interesting thing there actually the other day. It was funny. It was the number one song according to Billboard's, the most thing in the last, I don't know, it was 100 songs from the last, I don't know, 30 or 40 years from Billboard's. And the number one song was one that was went viral just before lockdown. And instead, top of the charts for 57 weeks, a record breaking, because it then became viral on TikTok and Instagram, and everyone was trying to copy the dance moves. And you know, it's funny, you know, some people were very successful thanks to it.
Well, I think about the and I'm blanking on the guy's name, but the is Nate Evans, or the guy who was doing all the sea shanties, like the Wellerman song, and suddenly like everyone's doing Wellerman TikToks and
the spare time to be dancing around the sitting room.
yeah Excuse me. Well, we are so excited to have you guys here. You're going to be in the schools for the week. What sort of things are you going to be doing with the kids? Obviously you'll be playing some music, but what do you try to teach them? How do you try to engage with them?
Just to show them the different tune types, because I think sometimes that gets confusing with people listening to Irish music. It can all sound monotonous or the same if you're not in on it, you know, that kind of way. And then there's a lot of nuances to it. Like, so we'd always try to show them the difference between, say, a reel or a jig, which would be the two main tune types you'd hear in Irish music. But what's also great as well, Anya, as I mentioned earlier, is a Gaeilgeoir, an Irish native speaker. So there's only about 10 to 15% of the population of Ireland who can speak Irish fluently, which is crazy. And obviously, Kneecap, the movie has come out and has done so well and is up for the Oscar. And that's kind of putting the Irish language on a map again and inspiring so many younger people. But what Anya would always do is she'd always try to teach them some little bit of Irish in the schools as well, and maybe a song that kind of mixes a little bit of it, or to get them to sing along as well, or to sing an Irish song, you know. So that's also neat as well. So, but yeah, just try and teach them as much about the culture, what we do, what we don't do, little bits of fun that you would do at a gig.
Sure.
And, you know, as you said, Ben and Danny was saying, it's all just about inspiring the younger generation, even if they don't play music, that they might be interested in going to a concert when they're older, or that they have an appreciation for what they're listening to, or that they're more opened up to the world and what's over maybe in our small island and the cultures of our island. And they might be more interested in different types of music than growing up. They might be interested in Appalachian music then and have an interest in old time music or bluegrass, or you know what I mean? And it's just hopefully it's snowball. There and they're into music full stop, because you know, I think everyone who plays music or is listening to it, you know, you get a lifetime of enjoyment out of it. It's not like a sport where you can, you know, you have to play it up into your 30s and then you start having to think about your body. where there's amazing musicians up until their 80s, 90s, whatever, you know. So
yeah,
I know. I always think about that when we have dancers here, you know, so much of dance is, you know, it's a young person's, not that there aren't older dancers, but you know, it's just so physically demanding on you that you can't do that. I love that you're bringing in the Gaelic language stuff. I was talking with Danny before you got on, Colm, you know, and I've been to Ireland a handful of times and spent most of my time in the west of Ireland. And kind of the further over you go, the more Gaelic you're exposed to.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite moments is it was in January and I went out to Inishir and there was no one there. Like I was the only person on the ferry except for like a guy who lived on the island. And so I got on this island and I just kind of wanted to walk around and see it. I loved Inishmore and was like, I need to go back to the islands. And there was nothing open when I got there, you know, just nothing. And I found this house that had like a bikes for rent sign on it. And it was this old guy who lived on Inishir who was a native Gaelic speaker, but did speak English. And like he lived on the island his whole life. And like I'm visiting from New York and we're talking about like just like he had visited New York once and we're talking about the difference in like, Inishere and New York City, like these two places that could not be more different. And it was just such a cool experience in conversation. And I mean, his accent was so thick. So like, we're trying to work through that. It was like, here's this guy from New York and this guy who lives on this island where, you know,
it's
60 people live full time year round, maybe.
Yeah.
It was just like such a cool exchange.
Yeah. And for those listening who don't know about Inishere, it's basically like what Ireland was in the early 1900s. It's just like it hasn't been touched
by
the modern kind of developments, you know what I mean? So there's no real cars on the island. It's horse and cart, all stone walls.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, it is just, it's lovely. A special, special place.
Yeah, I love it out there. I love it.
Yeah. Good spot.
So, well, we are so excited to have you guys here. I can't wait for the concert. Again, for our listeners, that's going to be on Thursday, February 20th at 7 p.m. at Sound Conservatory in downtown Moline. Danny Cullum, thank you so much for joining me today. We're so excited to have you in the Quad Cities, both in the schools and at the concert. And can't wait to meet you in person.
Thanks, Ben.
Likewise. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. For more information on Goitse, you can check out their website, goitse.ie. And for tickets to the event at Sound Conservatory, go to quadcityarts.com. Thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust. I'm Ben Goujon, and thanks for Talking Art.